We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's start with Justin Griffin, who is a Richmond attorney. He's been around for a while, and Justin is kind enough to join us this morning. How are you doing? I assume you and your family are safe and okay, and your world isn't falling apart this morning.
Yeah, we're doing just fine. Thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, let me throw it open to you. What do you think of where we are in the city, the decisions that have been made so far, and especially as you compare it, Richmond City versus Henrico and Chesterfield and Hanover?
Yeah, I think I would agree with your summary there at the beginning, that the way that we have kind of handled this has been lackluster, I think. The way that we've made decisions, the transparency that we've had decisions, and just kind of pulling the rug out from underneath our business owners 12 hours before they thought they were going to open was just the wrong way to do it. And I think it is important to make sure that everybody's being safe. It's important to do it based on data, but it's also important to do it based on the right data and all of the data, and not just, you know, everything that I'm hearing is the percent positivity rate. And to me, that is the wrong statistic to be using, because that has so many variables. Who are we testing? Is it random? Is it only those with symptoms? Are we targeting specific communities? That could change every day. How many people are we testing? If we only test 10 people and 7 of them are positive, that's a 70% positivity rate.
Right, yeah.
If tomorrow we go and test a bunch of college kids, and it could be a 5% positivity rate, or... You know, it all depends on who you're testing and how you're testing. So there's a million variables with that, and so it can change every day. And it's not really giving you the right data to make these decisions. And however you're doing it, you have to be clear. We should have been doing this for months. You know, Mayor Stoney talks about how he wants to put in 2 weeks of hard work so that we can open back up. Where's the hard work been for 2 months? Our people and our business owners deserve better than this guessing game that we're playing right now.
If you had been in office and from the beginning, you want to give the guy some running room here, because we didn't know what we were dealing with at the very beginning. So I don't want to be unfair and just beat the heck out of him, because right now, you know, we've got more data and we're, you know, in disagreement with the decision he's been making. But where would you have started if you had been in office, you know, at the beginning of this whole thing, trying to organize a response?
Yeah, I completely agree about giving some running room, and because it's, you know, it's important to try and not divide too much over this. But like you said, we've been in this for a while now. We have a lot more data and information. And I think for me, looking back, so on my website, griffinformayor.com, I've had on there for a couple of months now my coronavirus action plan. And there is a kind of a summary on there, but you can also drill down into a full seven-page plan. And it's a lot of bullet points going through. Here's the things we should be thinking about. Here are the things we should be doing. Here's what we need to hit to make sure that we can survive this, but then also thrive when we come out of it. And I think I put that on there because I think that's what we should be doing as a city, and that's what we need from leadership, is to show here's what we're doing and here is how we need to attack this thing. So, because it's, you know, that's what our people deserve. And for me, the main things that we've been worried about in this have been obvious since the beginning. It's, we were worried about our hospital capacity being overwhelmed, and we were also worried about vulnerable populations, our elderly populations, and people who have compromised immune systems. And so when you attack a problem, because I am very much about solution-oriented problem solving. What is the problem? How do we solve it? What is the most effective and efficient way of doing that? And so, for example, you know, before I even announced, I was, you know, I took the time to work with my church to implement a delivery system for our elderly members. And so if we're worried about these folks being particularly vulnerable to this virus, sending them out to the grocery stores with hordes of people is not a smart thing. Mm-hmm. So how can we help protect them so that they can shelter in place and the people who are less vulnerable can serve them in a safe manner so that, you know, they can still get supplies and have errands ran for them if that's what they need, and so that they can stay home and stay safe, so that we can help keep, you know, things like, you know, the hospitalizations down. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, what are the, you know, is our hospital capacity being overwhelmed? At the beginning, we should have been immediately lining up. What is our overflow capacity? Where is that going to be? How are we going to get it set up if we need it? And that didn't happen either. It wasn't even until April 3rd that they even picked the convention center as the overflow site. And I think that shows you how we deal with problems here in Richmond. There's no urgency, whether it's schools, whether it's fixing our roads, or whether it's now with dealing with this health crisis. There's just never any urgency. So that's how I would have been doing it. All hands on deck. Let's get this thing solved.
I'm watching the clock, and I don't want to cut you off, but I got to ask, because I've got a couple of friends who are saying, as soon as I can get things in order, I'm out of Richmond. I'm going someplace mm-hmm. else. And I'll tell you why. They think that the tax revenue loss that has occurred, it's inevitable that there's going to be a tax increase on them one way or another, whether it's an additional property mm-hmm. tax or a one-time levy or some other tax that will harm them, and they feel like they're overtaxed already. Do you think that's coming one way or the other? If you were mayor, I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to examine the books even before the virus, but what do you think the future looks like if revenue is down?
Well, I think if I win, that's not something that's going to happen, because my whole goal in running this is to, or one of the goals in running and becoming mayor is to get our financial house in order here in Richmond. And we had $141 million worth of tax revenue growth that was spent in the last 4 years, and we have nothing to show for it. Our schools are worse, the roads are as bad as they've ever been, and it took me 6 months to get a replacement trash can. And so, and you take a look under the hood, and you see things like procurement rules being violated. You see overtime happening left and right, people getting 2,000 hours of overtime spending. You see hundreds of thousands of dollars just being wasted and on things like advertising and public utilities. And so we can get in there. We can get the financial house in order. Like you said, I'm an attorney, but I also have an accounting degree. So I am very much a data and a numbers person. And so
you think you can fix it without an increase someplace?
That's right. Well, and that's the fair thing to do. Is anytime you're asking anybody to pay more in taxes or pay higher taxes than the surrounding areas, like we do here in Richmond, you have to show them that you are being efficient with that money and that they're actually getting things in return for that money. Here in Richmond, we pay more to get less in return. And so the goal of the mayor is to be like a manager, to go in there and to serve the people and to make sure they're getting the most for their money, and that's what I'll do.
Justin Griffin is an attorney here in Richmond. He is one of the two individuals who announced that they're running for mayor of Richmond against LeVar Stoney, the incumbent mayor, and I really appreciate you coming on and just kind of talking through this with us. We'll probably have you back again soon, but thanks for doing that this morning, Justin. Thank you.
Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.